10 Ways to Attract More Women to Go into Surgery. Hello, my name is Dr. Shanda Blackman, and I'm a professor of surgery at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. I specialize in thoracic surgery and trained in general surgery for 5 years, and then completed a 3-year cardiothoracic surgery residency and fellowship training program. I started my practice in 2006 after giving birth to twins during my training program. And after I started my practice for 8 years, I eventually became chief of thoracic surgery at Methodist Hospital in Houston. Subsequently, I was recruited to come to Mayo Clinic and begin as the first woman faculty member for thoracic surgery in the history of the clinic. I'm happy and very proud to be a member of many women that practice here now. Our program and residency is filled with women. I travel around the world and give talks on how to incorporate more women in your practice, in training programs, and in cardiothoracic surgery in general, and in surgery, basically, in general. I hope that this talk is helpful to you. I think it's very important, and it's one of my main missions to be more inclusive and allow more women to come into our practice and to recruit them as they provide some of our greatest assets. And without them, we will certainly fall behind. I hope that if you're a woman, you find some of these tips and pointers helpful. And I hope that if you're a man, that you're happy to welcome women into your program, mentor them, encourage them, and acknowledge the things that make us different. Because those things that make us different and unique are the very things that will make us excel. I hope that you enjoy this talk. Thank you. I have no relevant disclosures other than the fact that I love to show pictures of my children and my family in talks. Where are we now? As women in thoracic surgery, we looked at the composition of women beginning at medical school. Currently in the United States, almost half of the graduates of medical school are comprised of women. About 38% of trainees in general surgery are comprised of women, as are the same number of women going into surgery subspecialty training. However, there is a marked drop in the number of trainees going into cardiothoracic surgery. Only 22% of these trainees are comprised of women. When you look at the number of women that have been cumulatively board certified by the ABTS, they represent only 3.6% of the total number of people trained. More than 8,000 people have been trained, and there are only 308 women who have ever been trained in cardiothoracic surgery and subsequently board certified by the ABTS. When looking at the membership of our national organizations, about 8% of women comprise members of Society of Thoracic Surgeons, and only 3.1% comprise those total number of AATS members. When looking at the scope and the landscape of women in general across the nation, only 17% of deans currently appear to be women. Less than that are numbers of chairs in basic, clinical, and other health science departments. Only 3% of Department of Surgery chairs are women. When looking at academic promotion, a majority of women do tend to make it to the assistant level. However, only 20% make it to the associate level, and there are only 18% women at the professor level. This is the essence of our problem right now. There is a workforce issue. If we do not learn to attract more women into surgery, we will be losing 50% of our best candidates. The woman pictured to the right is a wonderful woman that I had the opportunity to train in general surgery. When she came from her original country, she shared with me stories of her Department of Surgery leaders telling her that she could make a choice to go into surgery or to be a mother, but that she could never do both, and if she chose surgery, that she would be a terrible mother. I hate that this was said to her, and this certainly affected her career. Ultimately, she chose not to go into surgery as a practice and chose a practice where she might have a little bit more time with her family. It is unfortunate that women feel that they have to choose between family and a career in today's day and age. If you look at the pictures of the women in this photograph, these are all women in thoracic surgery. We've come so far. Where we used to be so few, now we comprise a nice large group where we can support one another and encourage one another and attract those who are best and brightest into our specialty. Where are you with your program? Does your program look like there's nice diversity, or is your program comprised of only a single type of person? I believe that diversity makes your program run better. To the right is the photograph of the new partner that we just hired, Dr. Jenity Reisenauer. I'm proud to say that she'll be the new member in our thoracic surgery group. To the left is a recent picture of our journal club, bringing men and women from around the world into our group and into our training program, regardless of gender, race, or any other thing that makes us different. Bringing us all together and training together and welcoming families helps us to learn more about one another, helps us to respect one another, and helps us to think differently. When looking at the timeline of how I progressed through training, in 1998, I was the first woman on the general surgery training program in Atlanta, Georgia, in my program. They had been training people to do general surgery for 50 years, and having never brought a woman all the way through the program, it was an honor to be the first, but it was sometimes a bit lonely. I can say that I was treated perfectly. The men in the group treated me as an equal, and I felt as though I got equal respect. Sometimes the circumstances were not ideal for a woman in particular, for example, trying to become pregnant or have a family, but I can say that the training that I got was beyond measure, and that women often will not only meet the requirements and the goals set before them, but occasionally can exceed those goals just as likely as a man. When I came in 2004 to MD Anderson, I was happy in my program and felt that I was treated equally once again. As still the minority, in a majority of men training in the program, as well as all male faculty members, I found that I was given equal opportunity, equal respect, and I enjoyed once again wonderful mentorship from men. I could not find many women to mentor me during this phase of my training, but I found that an open mind, a willingness to train me, often led to great success. Later on, when I joined my partners at Mayo Clinic, I again was encountered with a predominantly male faculty group. This group was equally welcoming. I feel as though I'm treated not with gender-specific attitudes, but in fact, based on my volume, the quality of the care I deliver to my patients, and my outcomes as a surgeon. This is how we should treat all women, regardless of who else is in the group. I would like to share with you the top 10 ways to attract more women into surgery. I'll go through each of these in more detail, but I'll begin with a brief overview. Number 1, allow them to lead. Number 2, expose them to role models, whether they be men or women. Number 3, sponsorship. Not just mentorship, but sponsorship is key. Number 4, flexibility with family issues. Number 5, rid the workplace of sexism. Number 6, support networking. Number 7, ask for their opinion. Number 8, pay them the same as you pay the men. Number 9, teach them to negotiate. And finally, number 10, allow them to have fair promotion based on merit. With regards to fair promotion, women represent a minority of cardiothoracic surgeons in the United States. There are equal numbers in academic and private practice, and the highest levels of job satisfaction can be achieved, as found by Jessica Donnington and others, reported in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery in 2012. The article was entitled The WTS Report on the Current Status of Women in Cardiothoracic Surgery. Dr. Donnington found that 90% of women remain in practice and are academically productive, and 50% entered within the past 10 years. There's been an exponential increase in the number of women in the field over the past 10 years, making us very optimistic about our future prospects. As more come down the pipeline, we certainly see the numbers to the right to be increasing over time. As once women get into the specialty, they do very frequently stay in the specialty and persevere and achieve academic merit. Number 9. Teach them to negotiate. When women negotiate for themselves, they're seen as bossy and aggressive, and this is not a correct way to perceive women who advocate on their own behalf. Teach them to ask for what they need. Teach women to stand up for themselves and be advocates. Sheryl Sandberg often says that one of the best ways for women to negotiate is to negotiate communally, negotiating on behalf of all women or on behalf of your entire department or division is a much better way to negotiate rather than just for yourself. Some of the attributes that make women great leaders are shared by men. Women seen as more compassionate than men, who are seen as more decisive. However, some of those characteristics that make the best leaders are shared by both men and women, as seen in the image to the right. We are very thankful in thoracic surgery to have the AATS Women in Thoracic Surgery Leadership Forum this year. Both Dr. Jessica Donnington and Dr. David Jones work together to bring a huge group of people together. These people were able to communally express to one another leadership key qualities to train young women who are future prospective leaders in the key ways that they will need to learn to negotiate, lead, follow other leaders, plan for development, and intervene in their specialty. Number 8, pay them the same. Women in subspecialties are paid almost $100,000 less than men. When you look at women in primary care, the gap seems to be a little bit smaller. However, when looking at subspecialties, women are again paid almost $100,000 less than men. This must be corrected. Number 7, ask for their opinion. This is our current training program comprised of both residents and faculty. When you go around our group, you'll find that some may have unique needs. Some women are especially concerned about being close to their husbands as they train. Others are especially concerned about how they will manage childcare, especially if they have a male partner who happens to be active in practice as well. Some of the men may have similar needs and wants, wanting a longer paternity leave. Some women may want access to lactation care. Other women may need accessible childcare. These needs are diverse among the people that you work with. Constantly take the pulse of the people that you work with and find out what their wants and needs are and do what you can to accommodate them. By accommodating people and their special needs, you allow them to flourish in their career, to feel as though they have the attention that they need. We no longer have a program across the United States or the world where we ignore our families, our lives, or the quality of care that we deliver. We have to focus on making each person a whole, tending to their needs, and providing them an environment that facilitates and fosters learning and becoming whole with the family and the group. Support networking. It is crucial that women are given opportunities to network just like men are. Lateral networking is one of the key factors that women can utilize to help achieve the goal of increasing their influence, of achieving goals, of becoming future leaders for our own specialties. Networking is the key way that you develop strong relationships. Provide favors for other people by advocating for them, doing favors by giving talks for them, and in return, they can promote you, mentor you, and sponsor you. Again, the hallway conversations that happen in between meetings, the hallway and on the sideline conversations that men so comfortably have should now include women, allowing women to have those crucial conversations, to have those opportunities to network just like men. Number 5, rid the workplace of sexism. There are some specific no-fly zones. Exclusive conversations should not take place to exclude women. Microaggression should not be tolerated, and unintentional bias should not be tolerated. On the top right are 3 examples of men who are readily known as advocating for women. Dr. Arava Porjan was one of my early mentors who can frequently be found at any meeting holding one of his trainees' children. He both advocates for women and men equally. In the bottom left-hand corner of the screen is the hashtag HeForShe movement, and a huge group of male thoracic surgeons who actively advocate for women, either that they train or that they work with. These men represent the women and the movement of these women into their specialty, welcoming them with open arms. Dr. Doug Wood, in the top right to the left image, dedicated his entire presidential address to women, noting that we are the key to their future. It is especially thankful. It is with a special gratitude that we thanked Dr. Wood at our recent Women in Thoracic Surgery meeting by inducting him into the Women in Thoracic Surgery group as an honorary member. He often is advocating for women, helping to point out to men when unintentional microaggression occurs, even at meetings when perhaps a man addresses a woman by her first name and then other men on the panel by doctor, or when the age of a woman is underestimated or overestimated, when women are judged by their appearance rather than their qualifications. On the very top right is Dr. Mark Allen, who is the recent president of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons. Dr. Allen is well known for advocating for both women in surgery as leaders as well as women residents. His leadership is the style of leadership that is needed throughout the country to start to change the balance and create a more even working environment. In the bottom right is one of our future leaders. This is a young recipient of the Nina Braunwald Award. She is a cardiothoracic surgery resident at Mayo Clinic, and she definitely represents what is best in our specialty. Dr. Kimberly Holst has not only won the Nina Braunwald Award, but is pursuing a career in not just cardiac surgery, but congenital heart surgery. Her dedication to research, excellence, and knowledge, surgery, and practice will no doubt make her a triple threat in our specialty. Discrimination exists everywhere. Do not allow patients to discriminate or fire women surgeons based on their gender. There are multiple stories about this on the internet, but I can definitely say if you're a man and a patient fires your partner because she's a woman and asks to come to you, you should not allow this to happen. If you are a leader in an organization and a female surgeon is fired because of her gender, that should not be allowed. I cannot tell you how often this happens, and it should not be tolerated. Women surgeons have equal skills as male surgeons, and our diversity makes us better. It is no longer possible that patients should be able to discriminate based on race or gender. Number four, flexibility with family issues. Women typically begin their family later in life. As we have shown in a previous publication led by Dr. Pham, Birth Trends and Factors Affecting Childbearing Among Thoracic Surgeons, published in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery in 2014, women in cardiothoracic surgery typically have fewer children, yet more complications because of their delay in childbirth. These findings are likely related to the perception that their career would be adversely affected, as well as their advanced maternal age. Residency programs and practices should strive to develop policies that support childbearing earlier in training as the number of women in thoracic surgery grow. My program director, Dr. Joseph Caselli, upon learning that I was pregnant, fully supported me. Many weeks later, when I came back into his office as a cardiothoracic surgery resident, initially wanting to do aortic surgery, upon telling him that I was now pregnant with twins, responded with what I would characterize as the best response a program director may have ever given a young female trainee. He looked me in the eye, and he told me that if anyone treated me badly, to please let him know, and that he might very well fire them on the spot. Although this is an exaggeration, I certainly felt supported, and I feel as though that style of leadership, letting a woman know that she is unconditionally supported and that her pregnancy is both a wanted and a desired thing from the residency, showing support for building your family, just as the men in a training program have support for them to be with their wives as they have children, encouraging people to be able to have choices, to have their family, to take maternity leave, make adjustments for retraining women as they're on maternity leave, giving people the ability to be flexible and the ability to be there for their families is key to developing long-standing, fruitful careers. One of the most wonderful things that's been recently done is the dedication of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons to dedicate a special room that is rented out for women who are lactating. allowing women to have easy access to childcare during national meetings, as well as access to lactation rooms, allows them to easily participate around the early young stages of their childbearing to have access to meetings. Giving women access to lactation rooms that are more than a closet is something every institution should employ. Putting inside those rooms a computer so that they can be productive while they pump. Giving them easy access to their children and easy access to childcare so that they can potentially bring their children either to work or to meetings with them will give them the capacity to attend more meetings and be more flexible. At the recent STS 2018 annual meeting, Dr. Mara Antonoff gave her talk by Skype as she was still on maternity leave. We appreciated the effort that the Society of Thoracic Surgeons made to allow Dr. Antonoff to participate in their yearly meeting, the national meeting, and present as a new mother by Skype. This type of out-of-the-box thinking and engaging and supporting women who've just given birth to children, allowing them to still participate in the program, is a leading, cutting-edge thought and one that is widely supported by women. Number three, sponsorship is key. Dr. Keith Nonheim is readily known to sponsor women such as Melanie Edwards. Dr. Thomas D'Amico has sponsored many women such as Betty Tong in his own program. It is leaders like these who readily open women into their program, support them, mentor them, and sponsor them. This program planning, developing the presence of women on panels, allowing them to participate in postgraduate sessions, allowing them to be seen as an expert both nationally and worldwide, providing them the opportunity to be course directors, speakers, and discussants, allows women to be seen on the podium as leaders and other young women to see people that look like them as role models. It is very important that both the men and women in leadership position remember how key this is. Number two, expose them to role models. Having a role model like AJ Carpenter or Virginia Lytle or Yolanda Coulson has been very important to me for my career. I certainly hope that I've been a role model to other younger women who have come behind me. If women do not see anyone who looks like them at work, then they may not think that they will succeed. As Erin Gillespie on the far left is seen spinning many different plates, many of us know that the job is very difficult and the road is long. Without role models and experts to lead us and help us learn from their mistakes and teach us what they know, they might perceive that the pathway is too difficult. We need to maintain the upholding of our own role models so that they can reach out to others and lead them. Dr. Lana Shoemaker and the central figure, is a well-known leader in robotic thoracic surgery. She has actively mentored almost all of the women in thoracic surgery who have received the Intuitive Scholarship to train in advanced robotic surgery. Dr. Blair Marshall actively has participated in the early career development, recruiting women and men into cardiothoracic surgery at the American College of Surgeons Wet Lab. It is the engagement of these types of women that allow our younger future to see themselves as included rather than excluded. The AATS organization made a special effort to include more women in their program panel. The Asian Masters of Minimally Invasive Thoracic Surgery, led by Dr. Thomas D'Amico, has also made a ready effort to include women in their program. In spite of the fact that there are almost no women practicing cardiothoracic surgery in China, without women on the podium, young women trainees may not even perceive that this is possible. By leading by example, we will show others in other countries that this is possible, not only to do it in an excellent manner, but also that the sponsorship and the inclusivity leads to better diversity and better outcomes. Number one, allow them to lead. Some of the traits that matter most are shared by men and women. Allowing women to lead will certainly facilitate the development of all of our board of directors. Allowing women to be on the panel of experts that guide our national organizations will help us to be seen, help us to provide input for recruiting others in our organization. It is so important that honesty, intelligence, decisiveness, the very key factors that women are strong at, be included in allowing us to be leaders among all of the different specialties, especially in cardiothoracic surgery. Gender may not be our only issue. We need to be blind to gender, race, nationality, and religion. We need to create a safe environment where we can all work together. A rising tide raises every ship. I would like to specifically recognize the work of Mimi Seppa and Dr. David Cook, who've actively engaged in helping people through our sexual harassment and gender discrimination and diversity surveys to enhance the ways that we can lead by finding out what the problems are. I would also like to acknowledge the Graham Foundation, as well as the Society of Thoracic Surgeons Thoracic Surgery Foundation, for including people of various genders, races, nationalities, and religions in their scholarship applications to facilitate specifically the Watkins Fellowship and several other fellowships that promote diversity and learning. With regard to advice for women, I think there are some key special messages that I have, and I'll try to focus through these quickly. Find the right partner in life. Finding the right partner and splitting that work, sometimes 50-50, sometimes 70-30, having a partner who's willing to pick up the slack, who's willing to do the work regardless of what the job is, and who's willing to support you unconditionally is the key to succeeding in any specialty. Regardless of what your goals and desires are, if you choose an unsupportive partner, you for sure will not ever succeed in anything. I'm very fortunate to have one of the most wonderful partners in life, Matt Blackman, who has supported me since we finished training together. Matt basically went through all of my training programs with me, and although he's not a medical doctor or a surgeon or a physician, I often say we went through training together, because he experienced so much of the ups and downs almost as much as I did and frequently caught the brunt of it. I'd like to thank him right now for all the work he's done to do what's more than 50-50. And with our family, he's held everything together like glue. He is a stay-at-home dad and has basically folded his entire life around mine to help me to succeed. It takes a village and a lot of organization. To the far right is a copy of our wall calendar that sits on the refrigerator, showing all the trips that are planned, all the speaking events, and all the meetings. My children are allowed to sign up for meetings where I'm only giving a few talks and where there's not a lot of administrative burden. We have the children's sports calendars, the children's school calendars, my husband's golf schedule, and everything else on the board to facilitate the organization of a complex family. Bringing family in for key times when you're out of town to not disrupt the children's education is also important. Build your village. It's important that you find the people around you that can help you to bring your children up and raise them in the way that you want. Sometimes being a cardiothoracic surgeon and a woman is more responsibility and burden than you can bear alone. Having a supportive family, a supportive spouse, and supportive people around you for friends and family will certainly help you to succeed. Always show appreciation for those that make you look good, and always keep them in mind when you do have any achievement, knowing that that achievement also belongs to them. There are a lot of things you will not do as a consequence of your choice to be a surgeon. You may not make every game, be at every recital, have a huge social calendar, get tons of rest, or have unlimited time to exercise. But you certainly can be there when it counts, have a high-impact moment with your family on multiple occasions, dedicate yourself to close friends, and remember what is most important. And you do that by setting priorities. Randy Zuckerberg talks about how you cannot have it all every day. You can have it all, but you have to pick your top three things, and those things perhaps you can have. Oprah Winfrey is known for saying you can have it all, just not all at the same time or all at once. It's important to pick those things that are important to you and shave away the things that waste your time, that are not important to you, that take up space. By constantly cleaning the closet of your life, you can help to focus on the things that are important and spend high-impact moments with your family. Set goals in every area of your life. Set realistic goals in all areas of your life to assist yourself in remembering that your ultimate goal is balance. Your goal should cover your relationships, your physical being, your spiritual alignment, your mental development, your job, and finances. Don't ever lose sight of each of these things as they are equally important. Have a life outside the hospital. Spend time with those you love, do things you love, and constantly remember to be happy and focus on generating happiness. Women are now sometimes the majority. Take a moment to look around you and make sure that no one feels excluded. If the women become the minority, then men in the majority should take a special moment to make them feel included. However, vice versa should happen. If in some programs the women become the majority, they should always remember to include the men, as in such circumstances, the men might now start to feel like the minority. Always make no one feel excluded. Remember why you do this. Our patients are the very reason why we do what we do every day. Rachel Malmberg, who's one of my patients who has stage 4 lung cancer, constantly reminds me on a day-to-day basis to challenge myself, knowing that someone's life is in my hands. Being able to read through stories like the story of my patient Mark in the bottom left book through Amazon, written by Judith Werner, constantly allows me to be reminded about how precious life is and what we do to support. At the end of the day, we get to compare our own problems to that of our patients, and that alone should cause us to pause and realize how small our problems are, how lucky we are to get to do this amazing job, and what privilege we have. I'd like to thank you for your attention. It's been an honor to speak to you on this very sensitive topic. I hope that you open your mind and include more women into our specialty, allowing them to bring the unique gift of diversity.